tonight as we talk about Nephilim once again. We're going to deal with, the aspect of present. We talked about Monday, the origin and some beginning issues. Tuesday night, we looked into the Old Testament and we looked into then again afterwards. You know, again, Genesis 6, 4, the Nephilim, the giants were on the earth, and then again later. Now, I noticed that somebody has said that, that should be translated whenever or whatever. Listen, all the translations basically say the same thing. They were on the earth after the flood. And I believe that Anak and a number of the tribes of the Old Testament, as many researchers have done well, Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, Patrick Huron, and many others, Lynn Marzulli, they've all gone in and from different perspectives talked about the present day issue of Nephilim. Now, my emphasis is going to be different. My emphasis right now is what we're going to talk about on Thursday night, because we're going to deal with predictive or biblical prophetic revelation. And I believe that it predicts that Nephilim will be a part of the killing of one-fourth of humanity, the pale horse, Revelation 6. Now, that's Thursday night. We'll get into that big time. Tonight, the arrival of the God-men, small g, Nephilim, past, present, and future, that's the theme of the week. But we're going to be dealing with the occult birth of Nephilim, the backbreeding and goal of creating Nephilim. We're going to look at Nephilim weaponization and where are they right now. Listen, welcome to Shatter the Darkness Live. This is Russ Dizdar. It's July the 28th, and we are here with you from 6 to 7 Eastern Standard Time. In a divine moment in history. It really is. What you're doing now and what I'm doing right now is a part of living what I've just said in the last 7 minutes. Well, it's over per se. Archived, I guess, for those who want to. And listen, by the thousands and thousands, people are downloading the archives. So I want to say blessings to you and welcome from all over the world. And please understand that behind this voice is one compelling issue. It's not just power, energy, or something supernatural, although all of that is true. It is the relational God, the relationship with God, the personal living presence of Christ who died for you and me. That's the compelling issue, since God is pursuing all of us and wants to bring all of us home and bring us redemption. That's what all of this is about. So even though we get into the Nephilim issues, let me say to believers in Christ, not everybody agrees on all the details. Don't make the issue of Nephilim a point of fellowship. Don't discard brothers and sisters in Christ because they don't believe every perspective that you may believe on the issue of Nephilim. It is a secondary issue, but a very important one right now. And Christ and our relationship to Him and our relationship to each other and under the command of Christ in the Gospel of John, love one another as I have loved you, so that the world would know that you are my disciple. Listen, can the world tell that you are a follower, a clear-cut follower of Jesus Christ? John's Gospel 13, the command Christ gives. I'm compelled by it. I want to seek to live by it completely. Love one another as I've loved you. That's our big issue. Not perfection in our concept of Nephilim. So I want to make it clear that though I have perspective, though there is engagement, and though I believe there is a need for warning, and though I believe that there is prophecy that deals with the future issues of Nephilim, I want you to hear me tonight. As a believer in Christ to another believer in Christ, my bond to you is the blood of Christ, the living Christ, born of the Spirit of God, baptized into the body of Christ, and called to love you. That is the centrality. That is the centrality. To those that are coming aboard listening, you know, the other side of the fence, welcome. If you're, listen, a human being like I am, then I'm just crying out as one human being that once experienced the dark powers, but now for 36 years have experienced the living, personal, relational fellowship with God in Christ. And the assurance the Spirit of God gives and all that has come in all these years. We've got a great work, and I unashamedly say, if you're lost, I will do all that I can to help lead you to Christ, to help bring you to know God personally. I don't care. You can reject me all you want. There's only one driving motivation. You who are remote viewers, you who are military, you who are political, you, no matter what your background, even the hardcore, angry Luciferian who's done rituals against me, I forgive you, and I pray that God's power and presence will break through and literally bolt you out of the darkness into the work of the Spirit of God. God wants you to experience His love, presence, power, forgiveness, new life, and the gift of eternal life in Christ. No one loves you more. No one wants you more. Well, that's the platform or the bottom line or the foundation of tonight's show, Wednesday, the 28th. And I'm glad you're here. Shatterthedarkness.net, if you go to the website, you're going to notice the flash drive or the pictures there. And again, they're only there to kind of be pictures that symbolize or give a little picture to the messages coming during the week. But there's also in the beginning the conference for Las Vegas, Nevada, 27th and 28th of August. Click onto it. Check it out. I hope you can come. Second conference, October 1st and 2nd. That website is up now. You can link to it from our site. Tom Horn, RaidersNewsNetwork.com. He's going to be speaking. I'm going to be speaking. They're going to add, I think, a couple of other speakers, I believe. And we want you to come. We want you to be there in Canton, Ohio, just 20 minutes from my house. And I'm going to try to plan on some extra time with anybody coming in and to meet with you. And I'm going to plan both in Las Vegas, Nevada, in Canton, Ohio, and if we confirm and nail down the Paranormal West Coast Conference in California, I want to come to love you and to minister to you and to be there, let alone present the information. Let us pray for great revival, great impact, and great work of God in this unprecedented supernatural day and hour that we live in. We've just put up the second issue newsletter for July on the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Go to the top right, and you can click on, if you didn't get it in your mail already, it's being mailed out to everybody tonight, a few thousand folks. And if you didn't get it, you can get it by just simply going to the top right, click on second issue July. Thanks again for being here tonight. Let's dig into this information, into this issue. I watched a video today where an individual dealing with prophecy said that they've studied everything they could about test tube babies. And they began to tell us that test tube babies were the new Nephilim and that God was opposed, and he went into this major story. Now, I kind of wondered how the test tube baby. See, when I think in terms of first generation Nephilim, again, biblically looking at Revelation or Genesis 6. Genesis 6 shows clearly, B'nai Ha Elohim. They come down, grab the women. And it's basically kind of a rape. I mean, it's basically rape. They just take them. That's the picture you have. They just take them. They don't ask them out on a date. There's no courting there. They just take them. And relationships occur. Now, all of the extra biblical literature you can read, even Enoch, you can find all kinds of other references in history all over the place. And major insight. One of the reasons Enoch by some early church fathers was negated from being in the Bible they say, was because they didn't believe that dark spirits or fallen angels could cause conception. Again, because they don't understand the physics of the supernatural realm, they must have not understood that the Holy Spirit caused the conception in Mary. And of course, that's God. But there's counterfeit. There's counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles. And Antichrist is counterfeit from head to toe. We'll talk about him tonight, too, in the sense of the counterfeit conception and what it's all about. We dealt with origin on Monday night, Tuesday night, Old Testament. And again, you can plunge into the studies, but I do believe that Israel constantly were attacked by and fought against by, at the very least, second, third, and fourth generation Nephilim. In other words, Nephilim, first generation Nephilim who had children. And then they went out and had children. They went out and had children. There is a sense in anybody's understanding. And listen, if you understand horse breeding or, you know, the issue of kind of genetic selection, if you understand that principle of trying to genetically breed a faster, stronger horse, then you understand this concept of selective breeding. And so there's upbreeding. Tonight we're going to mention about the Nazis and their backbreeding. And that's a big issue because that's part of the theme of the last 40 years of satanic ritual abuse and millions of individuals. And that's uncontested. I don't think anybody's going to be able to contest the fact of Europe and America and Canada, the millions of victims that have shown up at psych wards, counseling centers, the DSM-3, the DSM-4, the Diagnostic Manual for Psychology, going back to 1947, G.H. Esterbrooks, hired by the military, wrote and clarified their ability, and he acknowledged and demonstrated that they had the ability to create subpersonalities, program them, train them, well, to be assassins, to sow disinformation, literally to do anything they wanted. And he suggested in 1947, and if you do any kind of study on G.H. Esterbrooks, you're going to know that he was just an ungodly, arrogant man, like Cameron and like others that were in the projects of splitting, programming, and creating alter personalities. The weaponization of it, yes, but the satanic bloodline issue of it, yes. All over Europe, into Russia, clearly, and all over England and here in the United States, by the millions. And I have worked with individuals that are now approaching 60 that had children that are multiple SRA also, and they have children that are multiple SRA, and now we're going into 8, 9, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, and they, four generations now on the field. And the question is, the generation above that, those who would be 75 and 80, we're not going to say that they were definitely multiple like we see today, but we're going to say that they may have been from the Levensborn Project, the Life Source Project that the Nazis and occult science, for the sake of backbreeding individuals who had Aryan descent for the goal of Aryan to Aryan. Then they create a stronger Aryan. Then that Aryan would then breed with Aryan. It was a selective, plotted breeding project in Nazi Germany, very misunderstood by naturalistic historians, military people, psychologists, and even ministers. But when you understand the origins, the spiritual occultic origins, and where the ideology, where the goal came from to create, listen, a master race of small g, godmen, that would be the soldiers to back a 1,000-year reign of the Nazis. When the war ended, it is clear in all of Project Paperclip and all of the Odessa Files and all of the development, they went worldwide. They operated now for some 60, you know, about 60 years. Now, we'll go into some of that, and I'm going to tell you tonight that the book, The Black Awakening, that's on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, that's 664 pages that brings in the streams that have guided us, the occult streams, and all that they have done. It goes over, again, there is no book out yet like this in the sense of what it goes over in the area of selecting, splitting, bonding, programming, demonizing, training, and creating sleepers, and then placing them. And then the next generation, and the next. It's unbelievable, but so was Auschwitz and Dachau. But it was real. For those counselors and pastors that will listen to this, blessings, refreshment, God's grace, my heart is with you. Let me say that to you. May God give you all of the great insight and extraordinary help in ministering to SRA victims. Here's why I'm going to say. The goal is not the knowledge to extract, but the healing, redemption, deliverance, and fullness of Christ in their life. That is the bottom line premise of the living Christ and what he's come to do. That is the bottom line premise of what we do. In all of the knowledge and all of the information that we have acquired and we have hunted for 25 years, we have purposely learned profiling, investigation, private investigation, law enforcement investigation, but learned that it was the power of God that would break in to this secret power of lawlessness that would grant us, well, going into Jericho, like the spies, getting a peek, like Ezekiel chapter 8, by God's grace and his will, a cutting into a supernatural hole that God would give us into the substructure of this radical evil. Everybody that talks about globalism, everybody that talks about the Antichrist, everybody that talks about the abyss or Armageddon must realize that those events don't just happen out of thin air. There is going to be a evolutionary buildup, a progressive development, a plot, a conspiracy that is bled in everywhere at this point. If you're somebody that believes that the end, the great chaos is coming in the next, I don't care if you believe it's 6 months, 6 years, or 10 years. Even if you believe it's 15 years away, it means that Antichrist has been birthed and on the earth. The false prophet is birthed and on the earth. They may be in their 20s. They may be in their 30s. I don't know what age they're going to be. But it's very clear from Scripture they'll be around longer behind the scenes than they will be in those last 7 years. But the last 7 years are what count. It's the major focus of a biblical prophetic insight. And by that insight, we have a cutting edge. By that insight, we can weed out the false information coming from Akashic Records, the collective unconscious, the Mayan prophecies, the occult streams, all of that that tries to rival biblical prophecy. Divert people from this infallible, accurate, prophetic revelation and feed them not so much with prophecy, but predictive information that really guides them into help fulfilling the Luciferic agenda. So be careful, 2012ers. The Mayan prophecies and all that guides towards globalism, however prophetic it looks, it's all about the agenda to snag you from God to the fallen cherub ultimately to your destruction. As we jump into tonight, we are going to also mention that, number one, the origins Monday night. Number two, Old Testament Tuesday night. Number three, let me mention this. You can go ahead and study, like Akhenaten, you can take a look at the pharaohs. I am one with many others and researchers that believe that some of them were Nephilim. Von Daniken and ufologists that talk about them as being gods, Stitchin and others about the Anunnaki being gods. Let me tell you something right now. I don't believe Von Daniken. I don't believe that ufologists that are making references to the aliens as gods have any concept of what God is as far as attributes. How can you be God flying around in a spaceship that can crash and you can die? When we look at the attributes of all the stories of the UFO issues, we find that they might be, as far as entities, superhuman, but they are far from God. Akhenaten and others, Quetzalcoatl and those small g godmen of the Greeks. Let me tell you something clearly. There is no attribute of God Almighty in them, but there's clear attributes of the satanic nature, the demonic nature, and most likely they were Nephilim. And if we get into speculation about Atlantis, I would also say that that would be Nephilim inspired. If not first generation, then they go to the second generation, and third and fourth and fifth, still carrying. Even the third, fourth generations of Nephilim would still be opposed to God and be inclined to open broader doorways for more demonic powers, more supernatural abilities, once again, to subjugate cultures, to make them, force them, guide them with supernatural help in the development of Nephilim architecture. Ziggurats, Mayan temples, pyramids, that all form a base, a base for the non-human intelligences. Isn't that a great name people have put out there? Non-human intelligences. They are deadly, demonic, man-hating, God-hating murderers and killers. You open your life to them, it's gonna bring great harangue. You open to the precursors, they'll give you abilities, I guarantee you that. They'll help you with supernatural things. They've got signs, wonders, supernatural things, ways to communicate, visions, dreams, synchronicity, engagement, leading you out into the ether and engaging. I was listening to Courtney Brown, the remote viewer from the Farsight Institute, an individual sent in. I've already read the books, Cosmic Voyage, other stuff that he talked about in, you know, being out there and engaging Jesus in a room. Now, everybody that knows who Jesus is, really is, if you read his encounter with Jesus, you know that it's not Jesus. You've got a finite counterfeit. Every finite counterfeit in among the Masons, among cults, among Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce. Yeah, that's right. Edgar Cayce was not a real, genuine believer in the living Christ. Now, he used material, as does Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, Theosophical Society, the OTO, as does the other side. Satan quoted Scripture, but he was no God worshiper. He is a living, breathing, eternal antagonist, adversary, fighting, and he will use your life if you open your life up to him. And he's got agenda, and that agenda is what we want to bring out. On the biblical scale of revelation, that's where we find massive insight on the developmental sequential agenda, which means that he has to, like the old Nazis, have to have people. and that he will involve, because political and military are the two main targets. Please understand the dark supernatural side, even masquerading as light. They will give ideas in science, technologies, inspiration, a voice to skull, thoughts popping in heads. And so I have tracked some of that. I've watched as Ingo Swann, who is developing the sanitized version of coordinate remote viewing in his swimming pool, in a swimming pool. Well, the ideas for it from the outside popped into his head. That's true of military individuals who developed new age super soldiering. That's true of what some of the weaponry that will lead to Armageddon. There are individuals where I believe that's true with CERN, but we don't have time for that tonight. What I'm going to tell you tonight is all you've got to do is look at the archaeology. And it seems as though when this archaeology is found is that governments come in, and of course they're taking it, but it's clear that it's out there, giants, bones, and I believe it's also clear that there is the quest on a so-called scientific level to, you know, listen, if nations can weaponize, if they could clone, if they could recreate, if Stalin wanted to create gorilla-empowered or genetically empowered soldiers in Russia, don't think that there are those that have any kind of ethics in their heads that when all they want is to win. And you know, of course, in Russia, to the Russians, this is one of the sad stories. Their leaders killed more Russians than did the Nazis in the battles. There were more Russians killed by their own leaders in the great purging, so-called purging in Russia, than there were at the camps. More Russians killed than Jews at the camps. Slaughtered. And so please understand, whether it's not German Nazis or atheistic, communist, occult-oriented Russian leaders, when you follow dark agenda, you do dark deeds. Out of all of what I'm saying right now comes the concept of the Godmen. Now, let me say this at first. Don't forget to do the studies on Jack Parsons. Don't forget to look up the Amalantra working, Aleister Crowley's Moonchild. You've got an American rocket scientist. I don't care if you've studied this. It is outrageous. Can I ask, does anybody get outraged about radical evil? I know Josiah did, as God led him in 2 Kings 22 and 23. I know that God was outraged when he led Ezekiel into the underground Luciferic serpent worship where human beings were sacrificed, that was right in the city of God and nobody knew it. See, it's right in and all among. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, it's in every city in the United States of America, every city in Europe. And now we're learning more that it may be in many and multiple cities throughout Russia. Oh, yes, up in the Netherlands and the Swedes, and there, wherever you find satanic ritual abused, DID they call it, those who've had their human personalities from being a baby split, bonded to the splitters and programmers, they were programmed. They were trained with becoming priestesses, assassins, disinformationists, soldiers. 100 other types of personalities can be programmed and then demonized, put down, operative, waiting, infiltrating, and placed. I mean, listen, a Canadian psychiatrist, Colin Ross, he agrees with what he wrote in his book when he asserts that he believes that there may be up to 10 million of the victims. And I think he's referring to the United States and Canada And Europe would have to be almost double that, because that's the belly of the beast. That's that. Listen, Europeans, it's the belly of the beast. It's the place of the origins of the darkest of the darkest of the darkest of occultism, satanic, luciferic ritualism. France, Italy, Germany, y'all know that. So when you look at Jack Parsons, a rocket scientist, when you have JPL out there that, you know, they even made, what, a crater on the other side of the dark side of the moon named after him? I mean, he's hailed by many, but he was into such deep, dark, satanic stuff, totally possessed. See, I'm talking from someone who's dealt with possessed people. He had all the markings of being highly demonized. You know, into the drugs, into the alcohol, into all kinds of sexual perversions. But he's the one that went out to the Mojave Desert, and out there they tried. They were doing a ritual. You can read about it all online. You can read his stuff. He believed that all Christians should be killed. And at one point believed that maybe he was the beast. That's how possessed, that's how completely overtaken he was. An American, hailed as a great American rocket scientist. And if you read the literature, his goal was to influence other scientists from other areas. We've tracked this, well, NSA, DIA, DOD, CIA, all across the board. But the American rocket scientist out in the Mojave Desert would be involved in doing a ritual that was supposed to summon the Whore of Babylon. And during a sexual act, to literally come in and cause a conception that would result in Nephilim, a hybrid, a enhanced human, as they looked at it. So you've got to understand, this was the concept of Himmler, who was very versed on genetics and breeding. This was part of the occult science. When I say that, what does that mean? That means supernatural presence, ideas and thoughts guided scientists. The dark side is clear. It's very clear about science. In Alice Bailey's work, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, it's very clear that if you understand that is dictated by a high demonic source, then it's clear they desire to bring about occult or demonically enhanced science that can aid humanity in bringing about technologies that Antichrist himself can use, or that can be used in the regime of Luciferic globalism. Jack Parsons, Aleister Crowley. The Nazis were seeking to backbreed. They believed that the Aryan were small g, godmen, a crossbreed between the gods and men. They believed that it was a good thing. Anybody working with satanic ritual abuse, when you've gotten to the German-speaking, Nazi-hailing, Führer-worshipping personalities on the inside, you're going to find out that they clearly, across the board, believe that that's what they're being created for, too. That they're the second or maybe third generation down from the agenda that was released among the Nazis, among what was called the Black Flame. Create the soldiers that would be so fierce, so strong, so healthy, so, well, supernatural. They were seeking the genetics of the Aryan. The Aryan, by all measures, would have been the very clear description of Nephilim. Whether second, third, fourth generation, they were considered small g, godmen, crossbreed. And in the genetics of the actual first generation, Nephilim, would be the incredible power. See, the fallen angels, they've got great powers. the B'nai HaElohim, they have super, I mean, to us, that's their natural, normal powers, but to us humans, it's supra-natural. It's physics beyond our understanding. And when that's bred into, or there is a crossbreed where the genetics are mixed, where the thing is not human, but looks sort of human. Let me say something quick about first-generation Nephilim. It's very clear, you got to get this down, even when it comes to today. There are those that believe that there have been episodes of Nephilim fighting soldiers, captured, killed, engagements, held underground, hiding out underground. We're talking first generation. Now, I'm going to leave that out there for right now to say this. First generation Nephilim, they were seeable. They were identifiable. They were Nephilim. They were giants. They were mutants. They had supernatural powers. They were in opposition to God. They attacked humans and ate them. They drew and created tribes around their worship. You know, in other words, taking the humans in and leading them to worship the Nephilim as gods. Again, I suggest to you that's what Quetzalcoatl is all about. That's what the Mayans were all about. It was a massively, massively, the high places of the Old Testament. Manasseh and the ritual slab and the god Moloch, you read about it, 2 Kings 21:22. There's massive descriptions in the Old Testament of this kind of worship of gods and goddesses, small g. Demonic entity, of course, I mean, that which opposed God, fallen angel issues. But when it came to Nephilim, they too drew humanity because they were bigger, stronger, lived longer, had abilities, and could teach others. They literally could be the conduits of demonic powers all over them. If you look at the Nashville version of Athena, in the Parthenos, the Parthenon, the replica down there, I was there, I stood there. And if that is Nephilim, let me tell you something, that is seeable. I had to look way up, bend my neck back to see how, but I looked at the snakes and the occultic symbols and the things that were all over this thing, which, again, understanding the dark side, they would be infested with spirits. Antichrist, false prophet, in Revelation 16, when they do the global class planetary release of demonic presence, where do the demons come from? Out of their mouths. They are Theron, most likely hybrid. But they also will contain within them spirits. Just as Jesus Christ breathed out God the Holy Spirit on disciples. Counterfeit to all of that, the dark side, the false prophet, the Antichrist, Revelation 16, it's a Bible, it could be taught in Sunday school if someone was willing. They, out of their mouths in ritualistic, literally in a triangulation, release, which we're going to talk about this because it is unprecedented. What is coming on that level is the only reason why Armageddon will occur. And most military men, women, and those who have talked about it for years have absolutely missed that issue. Armageddon is a supra-natural engagement. And they have to have it all in process years and years before it actually occurs. So as we drop down to the Nazis, we think in terms of their goal. Where did all of the satanic ritual abuse come from? I started this session tonight out with a story. Yes, in the 80s, and specifically in the 90s, we got story after story after story, after engagement after engagement after engagement with individuals who said they were breeders. Different levels of breeders. Let me give you three. There are those breeders. When I say breeder, I mean they were chosen, selected by a spiritual process in the leadership that would say, hey, you're going to literally mate with this person to create offspring that will be even more powerful than you. Again, the idea of backbreeding is if you take two current individuals that claim to have Aryan lineage and you make them breed and have a child and continue to do that, then those children only are allowed to marry within each other. So that when they create a child, they'll be even more Aryan and more Aryan and more Aryan. That's why among counselors and pastors and psychiatrists and psychologists dealing with SRA victims, you're going to hear these stories again and again and again and again, because it's all about power in the blood. I'm dealing still with where two girls were slaughtered, satanic rituals, demon rebels and satanic rebels, rather, in July and August. Back about 12 years ago, a 14-year-old girl, then a 17-year-old girl. That in the most horrific, and I don't have time to go into the whole description. I don't want to. The ritual that was done that slaughtered them involved the building of powers. The individual, and I told you the other night, where an officer that was one of them took me out to the field 2-3 o'clock in the morning where this occurred, and subpersonalities explained to me the ritual, why they did it, what was done. I've heard this all before. And I never tell them ahead of time what I know, and I make sure that I don't give them leading information. Whatever's going to come up's got to come up from them, not from somebody else, not from a book they read, but from actual history of real subpersonalities that had engagement. And if it's true, the proof is in the pudding, it will come up. And it has come up again and again, and our engagements with it are off the table. I didn't have enough room in 664 pages to tell you everything. That's why we're adding 6 more chapters online to the book. That's why we're doing a sequel called The Voice of an Ancient Hate later on. There's so many stories, and they continue to this day. And the same MO, the same stuff we're seeing again and again and again. With satanic ritually abused victims who are multiple, they are bloodlined, they have been chosen, selected. Well, number one, they have been conceived in what would be considered, the biological mother, the biological father. I don't even want to get into the subparts that would have been there to actually do the act. But they would have been, it would have been individuals highly demonized and whose blood would be charged, and they would believe they had part of this, part of the flex of Nephilim blood. Well, then if they then breed, the goal in that dark science is that the next child, which are millions in their late 40s and 50s out there right now, would have had babies that would be demonized from conception. Rituals would have been done, pre-sex rituals would have been done. A subpersonality named Piet explaining what occurred on a military base in Holland in describing the concept of conception. Biblically, traducianism, the moment the egg is fertilized, instantaneously the human spirit is created, life begins, the physical begins to generate and develop. Untouched, all the way to the 9 months, all the way out of the womb, all the way to 90 years old, that continues because of the life of the human spirit in the instant of the beginning. Now, their belief is that they can cordon that off, demonize everything, and literally cause that the life behind the development would be demonic. I mean, we're talking about super possession. And so when that occurs, the baby's already inclined, and again, dissociation is caused, splitting is caused, and then the whole development of creating an SRA, MPD, they have called it, across the board anyway, by the hundreds that I've dealt with, chosen ones. In Europe, in the United States, all over, they can have different names, Babylon working babies, whatever the names. The bottom line is the same. It comes from demonic-inspired ideas in breeding, in the development and transmutation of a human being. The whole goal is to create a vessel for satanic use, ultimately for being a servant for Antichrist. That's true among all of them everywhere. That's the reason for this demonic technology. By the way, at the conference in October, Tom Dunn has titled it Supernatural Science and Prophecy. So we'll bring some of this out. So the second thing is when there are those who are multiple DID, they're demonized, they're charged blood, they've been through rituals, and then they are led to have another baby. That baby then would be SRA, and we're already into four generations. We're already dealing with four generations of them, and in each generation they're supposed to be stronger and more pure blood. The rituals I was talking about here locally was so the man could, this chosen one could raise the powers, bring them into himself, charging his blood. You know, the life is in the blood. It may be that our human spirit, the connective point, not just the pineal gland, but your blood over your whole body, that when you leave your body, the attachment may be and has something to do with the blood. Demons attach to and love the blood. They don't mess with dead blood, blood that's been spilt laying on the ground. But charged blood in a ritual, they want to drink it. They want to sell it. They want it. Powers are in it. And if they can create the kind of horrific ritual, summon demons, drink the blood and pull the demons in, they consider that purifying. In other words, demonizing, in our view, darkening and charging their blood and their person with deeper powers. And they have powers. And then you go to the next part of this, and then you have those who have been through the marriage of the beast, those who have had priests and others completely possessed, and by the demons inside, by the demonic entity inside, they would have sexual relationship with a young girl, whatever, with the goal again of a possessed conception, fetus, child development. And the idea that they're already chosen, they're already marked, they're already going to be part of that kingdom. Then it goes further than that. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, there are those that said that Satan came in, or a fallen angel. Again, here's where the whole, there's going to be debate about it. But the stories are that they, you know, that we've heard again and again. Now, we have been very explicit about always getting corroborative evidence. You don't understand all that we do. We are hunters. We have done hunting for 25 years. We have gone to the underground. We have been out in deep wood. We've been out so many times. That's why we learned profiling, investigation, infiltration issues. We've done a lot to go into their realm without compromise to see what they're doing. The goal ultimately for the freedom, healing, deliverance, salvation of individuals and using the authority of Christ to pray against all the dark stuff to stop them from doing this to babies. But breeders, stories clearly are there from the 90s on, in our case anyway, that real supernatural entities have had sexual relation. Incubus, succubus issues, that's another night we'll deal with that, but it's real. It's occurred. We've done deliverances with individuals on that basis for years. More people than you know. Maybe some that are listening right now. If you've had some supernatural source try to come and have sex with you, you're talking about only demonic. No angel of God, no dead relative, you're talking demonic. Renounce it, walk away from it, get out of it. Now, when it comes to this issue, all I'm saying is this. With breeders, what we said back in the late 80s, early 90s, you can go to the gynecologist. You can go get checked to see if you've ever had babies, if you ever were pregnant in any level. There is a physiological way of checking to see if you ever have and to give cooperative evidence. We've done this for years and years for the benefit of the victim. We've always listened with Holy Spirit discernment, with our experience in the field. We've listened, believed what we felt we need to believe, and then for their sake and for the sake of stopping the dark side stuff and coming against what's being done, we have gone after and hunted the information, and we do it to this very day. But we have rules in the way we unleash the information. Is it possible? Let me say this. The B'nai Elohim, the fallen angels, they didn't need to have SRA victims. They just took women. To create Nephilim, they just took women. If the pale horse issue, Revelation 6, is a prophecy about future Nephilim, please understand that if we're talking first generation, fallen angels, all they got to do is take women and cause it. So we need to, by God's grace, look at Ezekiel 8. It's clear God wanted Ezekiel the believer to go in and see what's going on. And God saw it as detestable. What's going on out there? I urge you, go to shatterthedarkness.net. Look at the Dark Rituals, Dark Powers series in your city. The darkest of things are occurring, and 99% of the people don't know. We're at the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar. We are shatterthedarkness.net. Keep us in your prayers, and listen, keep us in your support. God bless you. We'll see you Thursday.